guy in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black, Bob Zimmerman joins to help us understand the drama of Starliner. Starliner is built by Boeing, and it's right now attached to the ISS. Those things are completely firm. After that, Bob, a very good evening to you. Starliner is still in at the ISS, and the two astronauts who went up with it are still on ISS. That's as far as I know. What comes next? Good evening, Bob.
Well, John, you might also know as much. I might know as much as you do, but we have some information. Now, up to the last, 6 weeks, they've been doing tests to try to determine exactly why some thrusters did not function properly during the docking of this manned capsule built by Boeing with two astronauts on board. Did not fire properly during docking. And as of 2 weeks ago, in the previous briefing, the Boeing and NASA engineers said they think they had determined the problem based on both a hot fire test on ISS of these thrusters, as well as duplicate testing done on the ground. And they thought it had to do with a Teflon seal in the thruster that, when the thruster gets hot, expands and ends up blocking the flow of fuel to the thruster, and that's why it gets blocked. And they thought they had everything right, and they said, we're going to do some additional hot fire tests on ISS with those thrusters to confirm what we found on the ground. And it appears now, based on a briefing today, that the thrusters on ISS on Starliner didn't behave as expected. In fact, they worked great. They worked absolutely great. They showed no indication of that Teflon seal expanding and blocking flow. All right, so they worked great, which indicates, well, yeah, we can land then. But the problem is, this is like if you bring a car to a car mechanic with an intermittent problem. It becomes somewhat difficult to figure out what the problem is. So they thought the Teflon seal was the problem, but since they could not duplicate the problem on ISS, that leaves them with some uncertainty about what the actual problem is. Now, the test suggests strongly that they can use the capsule to come back. But in the briefing today, NASA admitted finally, very publicly, that they are considering to bring Starliner down unmanned. And they outlined the entire plan that they've been working up if they decide to do that. And I want to emphasize the if, because the decision hasn't been made, but I'll go into that more. The plan would be, first, they have delayed the launch of the Dragon capsule bringing four astronauts to ISS to late September. That's about a five-week further delay. It's actually more like 7 weeks from the original plan. And the additional delay is partly to coordinate docking at ISS with the Russians. They have a progress on Soyuz coming up. It's also partly to, and we have another Cygnus coming up at some point. So another Dragon cargo capsule coming up. So there's some coordination with that. So they had to move it back. There's also coordination having to do with launch pads, because the Dragon capsule was going to launch on a launch pad that is needed for the Europa Clipper mission that has to launch in a window starting October 10th. And so if they delayed the Dragon launch longer, it would interfere with preparing that launch pad for the Europa Clipper mission, which has a hard launch date. So they're going to switch the Dragon mission to a different launch pad, and that also means it has to delay until late September. In that delay, that gives them time to fix an issue with Starliner that is really an absurd one. It's another example of some bad management at Boeing, I think. When they did an unmanned test mission last year, the software on the Starliner capsule was designed to undock, and if there was any problem in the undocking, it had corrective maneuvering in the autonomous software to correct the problem and to make sure no problems would exist, like colliding with ISS or, you know, tumbling. But for some reason, they changed the software for the manned mission so that if there was a problem in undocking, they would rely on the astronauts to deal with the issue. But now if they bring the thing back unmanned, the astronauts won't be there. So they need time to upload this corrective software, the older software, onto Starliner. That's another reason why they're delaying. Why they changed the software is baffling, makes no sense, and suggests, once again, really management problems at Boeing, some lack of common sense. I don't know. So that's what the other reason. So now, if they do bring Starliner back, now, the question is, will they bring Starliner back unmanned? They say they're going to spend this month to do more analysis to see if they can really pin down the issue on the thrusters, and they need to do that no matter what, so they're going to do that. If they can really strengthen their confidence, they'll come down with the astronauts on board. I will say that this whole announcement, according to everything I've seen, I'll say that this announcement suggests that they were ready to go, but higher-ups at NASA didn't like it, didn't like the uncertainties, and told them, no, we're going to take more seriously the situation, and we have to now seriously consider bringing them back without bringing them back on another craft. Now, if they don't bring them back in Starliner, the two astronauts that are up there, Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams, they went up on what they thought might be a two-week mission that could get extended for a month or so. But instead, what will happen is the Dragon capsule will come up with only two people, not four, and it'll come home with them and the two astronauts on that mission after completing 6 months. In other words, the mission will continue its six-month mission, but they will stay up for anywhere from 8 to 9 months. So their two-week mission will turn into a nine-month mission, because they'll bring the Dragon capsule up as planned, and bring it back as planned after a six-month mission. It'll go up with two, and it'll come down with four. That's the plan right now. And so that's the contingency plan if they decide Starliner cannot take people on board.
Boeing is a private company. NASA is a public utility. Who's in charge?
In the end, the bottom line is Bill Nelson, administrative NASA. In this case, because the astronauts are NASA astronauts. And so even though they've paid Boeing to fly them to space, if there's any questions, it is the bottom line goes to the top of NASA, who's going to decide what to do with those astronauts. And that's my sense, that in the review meeting last week going over all this stuff, it was decided to let's make sure we have the option to bring the astronauts back on Dragon. And that means bringing Starliner home unmanned. And that means updating the software. And that means rescheduling everything. And I think the upper management of NASA is the one who has forced this. I'm not saying necessarily that's a wrong decision. I'm just saying that they're the ones that probably forced it. I would say that it does, once again, speak poorly of Boeing that this software situation exists. That shouldn't have been an issue, but it's there. I also say that if it is the administrator's final decision, I would say it's very likely that Starliner will come back empty, because I think that this decision now suggests that the upper people in NASA, including Nelson, are uncomfortable with the risk involved, and they want a better choice.
Bob, it's an election year. Anything like that hinted?
Oh, good point, John. Good point. I mean, you know, Nelson is a political choice, and so you're right. He probably even has had conversations with you know, the Democratic candidates about this and have been told, you know, we can't have anything go wrong. And so that may be another factor in this. You're absolutely right, John.
And Boeing just changed CEO. That would be a reason for him to demand a full investigation. Who's paying for it? Is this cost plus?
No, that's the one thing about Boeing's contract. It's a fixed price contract. They got $4.2 billion to make Starliner operational. They have not made it operational yet. And so they have actually had to dig into Boeing's pockets to the tune of like $2.5 billion. That's money lost. To make a profit on Starliner for Boeing is almost impossible, because they have dug in so much extra cash that even if they start selling lots of tickets down the road, including to NASA, I don't know how they can get that money back.
Have we done the delays that this is going to cause?
They estimate now that this particular mission delays is going to cost Boeing another $125 million.
And the missions that are being delayed because of Boeing's non-performance, is that costing money?
Less so. I'm sure there's some money that has to be sent to SpaceX, I'm sure SpaceX is making some money if it brings those astronauts down. It gets some additional funds. Some of the work that had to be done to make the capsules work in this manner has already been contracts have been given to SpaceX to make that happen. So there's some money being spent with SpaceX, but I would say a lot of this stuff is the kind of stuff they should do anyway. So they have really flexibility on bringing people back.
All right, Lufthansa, let's go to Europe entirely. What's Lufthansa is a German airline. This is a strange
That's right. Story. Lufthansa has signed a deal with Airbus to train the European astronauts that are going to fly to the Starlab space station. Starlab is one of the three commercial space stations that NASA has provided seed money to. And the lead company in that is Voyager Space, an American company. But they have signed a contract with Airbus and Mitsubishi and a lot of Hilton Hotels to build this station. And Airbus, and mainly because they want to get the European space station business, Voyager Space. And so Airbus now is a major partner in this. It's like 51-49 type thing where Voyager Space, the American company, is still in the majority ruling. But I have a sense that Airbus has more control in that. And they have signed a deal with Lufthansa to do the training of the astronauts that will fly to Starlab. And these will be the European astronauts that will fly to Starlab. Starlab's supposed to launch sometime in 27, I think. Was it 28, 29. It's an interesting situation because this station very clearly is now beginning to become the European space station. Essentially, it'll be American built components and American company as the lead, but it's going to become the European space station.
What is Safran?
Safran is a European company, aerospace company. It's a partner with Airbus to build the Ariane 6 rocket. But on its own, it does aerospace stuff. And one of the things it's developing is electrical propulsion thrusters that are used by satellites to just orient themselves and actually move themselves around. These are mostly used in geosynchronous orbit. They've been around for a while, but Safran's developing its own. And it's just announced that it's going to build a production facility for those thrusters in the U.S., parallel to one it's building in Europe. And that'll allow it the possibility to sell those thrusters to satellite companies worldwide. Because in the U.S., you got strict State Department regulations, and so they have to be built in the U.S. to meet those regulations. So they can sell those thrusters now to American companies as well as worldwide using the European office. And this is just, once again, the new cottage industries that is coming up all over the place to provide things for space, John.
And what is Axiom that's changed its CEO?
Axiom isn't one of the other space station companies that got seed money from NASA. They've done some manned missions to ISS with commercial customers, but they're building components to put on ISS that will eventually become an independent station, their own space station. That company was established by a guy named Mike Suffredini. He spent years at NASA, so he knew the NASA operations very well and had lots of contacts at NASA. So when he established Axiom, he was able to really avoid all the pitfalls that occur in a government agency and negotiate exactly the right deals to make that partnership with NASA work smoothly, which is why his station is going to dock with ISS initially and then eventually separate. But he's been there for a long time, and he's decided to transfer over to the board of directors and have someone else take over day-to-day operations CEO. This doesn't change the company, I think, any significantly, but it does highlight that Axiom is doing a smooth transition to new people.
Space tugs of the new. What are they, Bob?
Here we got an interesting story. We got a space tug startup called Impulse Space. And it was founded by a former SpaceX engineer, Tom Muller, who was right at the beginning of SpaceX, designed the Merlin engine, actually. And so they have built what they call the Mira tug. And that tug was tested once in a demo mission, had some problems with communications, but worked. They are now refiguring their larger new Helios tug to work both with Mira and also to be able to take a whole range of satellites into orbit and move them around. And this is just creating greater flexibility so they can get a bigger customer base. And it's just smart.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going to the surface of the sun next. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.